Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, July 10th, 2020. It's 6:01 in the a.m., and we are live on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and, of course, the first hour of the show live on TV on 38th The Spot. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. Let's get through this Friday and get to the weekend together. Big weekend. Let's go. Very exciting. Very excited for the weekend. And very excited to talk to Stan Weber, who will be in studio with us at 6:30. So here in just a few minutes, Stan Weber will be with us. That will take us to Mike McFarlane at 7:30. We'll be on the show. We've always got time to talk to Mike McFarlane, talk some baseball, and get his thoughts on what's happening right now. And also, I will read to him different tweets I was making late last night about George Brett and see what Mike McFarlane thinks about that. Because I got issues, baby. I don't need that. I need sleep, but not that much sleep. Tweeting about George Brett is sometimes more refreshing and relaxing than sleep. So we'll talk to Mike McFarlane about that. Gary Lezak with your weekend forecast just before 8 o'clock. Then we're going to talk to the handsome Jared Sutton about basketball. Looking forward to 8:30 and talking to Chicago Cubs pitching coach and local product Tommy Hotovy, who had a very difficult battle with COVID-19, with the coronavirus, and he did some interviews talking about that, and we're very happy that he's healthy and he got through it, and we're also very happy that he's going to spend some time with us on the show this morning. So we'll talk to Tommy Hotovy a little bit later, around 8:30 or so. 9:05, we'll talk to the captain, Matt Beisler, from Sporting Kansas City. And we'll find out which team has dropped out today from the MLS's back tournament. Thankfully, it's not Sporting Kansas City. But Matt Beisler will be on the show at 9:05 to get us ready for Sporting Kansas City. The Matt Beisler is Back segment at 9:05 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Then at 9:30, I'm going to talk to Jonathan Thomas, who is the president and CEO of the American Century Investments. And, of course, it's the American Century Championship this weekend. And that airs this afternoon on NBC Sports Network and then on Saturday and Sunday afternoon on NBC. And, look, this is an event that I've had a chance to go out and cover 4 or 5 times. I can't remember. The first trip was it's been a long time ago since I first went out there. And I think the first trip out there was when I ended up enjoying cocktails with Bobby Bonilla, which was a very wonderful experience. And somehow the very large bill that was, I was on a large tab that included Bobby Bonilla, Ray Allen, and Marcus Allen and Charles Barkley, and Charles Barkley paid the bill. And it was at that time, and I think maybe still, the largest the largest bill I had ever seen in person, because we had a mutual friend that was working with the radio station of Marcus Allen, and so Marcus Allen took us, and we were in his entourage that night. And these eyes have never been the same, fellas. But that was, at least, I don't know, 15 years ago? time flies when you're having fun, and I can't count years anymore. I can't count at all, really. But it's always been one of my favorite events, the most beautiful place that I've ever been to in this country, at South Lake Tahoe and on the water. And, yeah, it makes my head ding. It's so beautiful. Was that me or is that?
That was me.
Oh, okay.
Didn't hit the mute button on my laptop before we started today.
Personal foul. It's a little surprising. You usually take care of that. What's wrong with you?
Hey, welcome back, Nate.
Not your A game. Not your A game until the openings interrupt you. Come on, man. You're getting back at it. Let's go.
I am back,
fired
baby.
Up. There it is. And so Jonathan Thomas will talk to us. And look, again, like I said, I go out there, and I haven't always been a huge – I don't always watch all of it because I'm usually out there. And, you know, hey, it's a different brand of golf. But let me tell you this. I'm going to watch a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend, because there's a good chance – I will see either Patrick Mahomes or Canelo Alvarez playing golf. And you know what?
That is awesome.
I'll probably watch them, you know, play Monopoly if there was an available show that featured that. And then you sprinkle in some Travis Kelce, and you know what? You know, we're good. We are good. And the fellows are having a hell of a time if you've watched their Instagram feeds or checked out anything coming up. They were on a boat yesterday. Very beautiful scenes with Travis Kelce and his lovely girlfriend and Patrick Mahomes. And Travis Kelce took a picture with a can of Coors Light in front of his face, which was always good. So I will watch. I mean, you get to see here. You have the opportunity to watch Mahomes compete in a competition on TV this weekend. Who's in? Anyone? Will that draw any viewers in Kansas City? You're damn right it will.
Jake and I just put our hands up for the record.
Right. And then when they're not showing Mahomes, I can hope for Canelo, who sent out a video of Steph Curry wanted to see how fast Canelo's hands were. And so they were doing a little shadow boxing, a little light sparring maybe. And then Canelo showed what he could have done with a jab real quick to Steph Curry's face, and Steph Curry screamed and laughed. I enjoyed watching that. And then a beautiful picture of Canelo and Steph Curry, which then I tried to book a late night flight to Reno, and my wife took the credit card and phone away from me last night. So. I told her I can be there by the morning. And she goes, you can shut up by the evening. I said, oh no. They pushed too far there. But at least I tried. I can say I gave my best effort to make it out there. So I really could have been there, at least by the end of the show, but that would have served us no purpose. But I'm selfish. I was just thinking about myself, I'll be honest. And so we will talk to Jonathan Thomas about that and what charities are benefiting from the tournament and what it's like out there. No fans, but a whole bunch of celebrities, including, again, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Canelo Alvarez together on the same golf course. I don't know if I've mentioned that at all. I will mention that throughout the show. And so all that and more coming up for you on this Friday edition of the Border Patrol. We will, and Nate, and you're back. You're back in the saddle. You good?
Oh, man.
You all
man.
Strapped in? You
ready to go. Refreshed.
There. It sounds like it.
Especially after having a baby that was up all night because got a new tooth coming in. So I am rested and ready. Let's go.
That's all right.
Come on.
Yes.
You can use that as an excuse. Jake's been teething for the past 2 days. So he's been very...
I've just been crying on the inside, though.
Right, in a foul mood. And so, you know...
He's been crying
but
on the inside.
Have you guys tried rubbing whiskey on his gums?
Yeah. Don't do that. Turn into a gremlin.
No, we rub bone broth on his gums.
Yeah, there
now,
you go.
And so it's
I'm already a pint in.
Right.
That's why Jake's been telling me all week to go with my gut.
Yeah.
Right.
Heal it.
Right. Yep. Yeah, he keeps saying that he needs to suckle on a teat, and I said, "Well, please, I can offer you many things, Jake. That I cannot offer you. I guess I could, but
well,
I don't think
no.
It's,
by the way,
it's beneficial for anyone
involved, not milk you.
So.
Speaking
right,
of that, we offered my 10-year-old son on a dare. He asked us if we would dare him to drink some leftover of mom's milk.
Oh. Wait, how?
Just out of the bottle. It was left over
okay,
in the bottle.
Okay, easy.
I was going to say,
talking about
Game of Thrones style.
No, no, no.
I mean, you're talking about a dare.
Oh,
no. Easy. I just said right. Suckle from the tea. Go, hey, we dared my son last night.
No.
Suckle from his mom's teat. He
no.
said,
no,
boy,
okay.
What
okay.
Come on, Nate, we're on the air.
No,
are
we didn't do
tell
that. We didn't go that far.
I mean,
that was a...
I've got the video. He drank it, tried to drink it from the bottle. We offered him $10. Right. He spit it all out.
Wow.
No money.
I'd have downed it for $10.
Right,
bucks.
Me
no
too.
Well,
tastes like cereal milk.
Shows off to a
rip-roaring start.
Racing start.
Aren't you glad I'm back?
It tastes like cereal
milk.
That's what Steven, that's all I said. Steven says it tastes like cereal milk.
It tastes like the milk that you've left cereal, you know, afterwards. I mean,
it kind of soggy cereal milk, yeah.
I mean, it depends on what kind
Jake.
Of cereal we're talking about, like Cocoa Krispies.
Jake, blueberry.
That's some dark milk.
Jake, we've had 4 kids. Didn't you think the odds were good that I would have tried it?
Oh, I'm trying
yes,
it. I'm trying it this time around. Last chance. I'm trying it.
And maybe I didn't try it. Maybe I just would have some.
Wow. Hello.
You know,
right.
Oh, man.
You know, just a little squirt in the coffee in the morning and get me going. There's
yeah.
What time's the show start? Is it 6 yet?
I don't know. Have I turned my sound
11.
Off on my computer?
Oh. Boy.
Yeah.
Well,
the nipple.
That by about 15 minutes. On that note, let's take a break and restart. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Jake Gutierrez. We're going to do a quick segment here on USC 251. My excitement level is through the roof. I would encourage you to watch USC Embedded on ESPN+. The episodes are only around 8 or 9 minutes long, and there's 4 episodes and pretty good behind-the-scenes stuff of what's going on right now in preparation for USC 251 with the weigh-ins this morning. And we'll keep you updated. Jake Pounders will keep us updated on who's making weight. I will be weighing in, all Nate and Jake. And then Stan Weber will be weighing in at about 7:15. We'll see if he makes weight for today.
I've already weighed in.
Did you make weight?
207.
Oh, you're in action this weekend. Good.
I guarantee Stan
Daniel,
makes weight.
Well, we'll see. You don't ever guarantee. You never know.
He's very disciplined.
Know. Right. Here is Dana White, UFC president, on the tough part about putting on these events.
During this pandemic, the hardest part in the beginning was the negativity that we received from the media and the amount of people that tried to stop this event, from media to politicians, you name it. That was the hardest thing that I've ever gone through since I've been in this business. But then pulling off Fight Island, you know, we're shipping people in from planes left from London, planes left from Las Vegas, planes left from Brazil, making sure that everybody was healthy before they got on that plane. And then getting here now to really make sure that everybody's good. We've all been in a 48-hour quarantine in our hotel room. So, obviously, very unique circumstances and a lot of different problems we deal with now that we never had to deal with before.
That is Dana White, and again, in the UFC embedded episodes on ESPN+, you could see some of the testing and what the fighters and the personnel are going through to try to make sure everyone is able to be tested properly, and they can pull this off. And look, they've done other fights. They've already done other fights in the past couple of months during the pandemic. But this Fight Island in Abu Dhabi is something totally different, and it's fascinating. And so, if you watch, it's a pretty good all 4 episodes are pretty good watches that I checked out the last couple of days. Now, Jorge Masvidal. This time last week, there were just rumors. Now it's on, baby. He is taking on Kamaru Usman for the welterweight championship. Jorge Masvidal, most any fight fan loves Masvidal. I was just talking with Jake. It kind of reminds me of the way Arturo Gatti was a hardcore boxing fan's favorite or one of their favorite fighters. So many people that were big boxing fans knew Arturo Gatti and watched his fights on HBO After Dark, but he really didn't become a bigger star until he had those fights with Mickey Ward, and he had losses on his ledger, but he had great fights. He was exciting. You always knew you were going to get something special when you watched him, and he became a superstar later on in his career despite not having you know, he wasn't elite. You saw that when he fought Floyd Mayweather at that point. But he was the all-action fighter that you knew would never disappoint you, and he became a huge star because of it. And Jorge Masvidal, he's got 13 losses. But he'll fight anyone, anytime. I think we've seen that. And fight fans know that if you watch him, you're going to get your money's worth. And now he's become a superstar in the UFC, and it's well-deserved. Here is Jorge Masvidal talking about why he has no respect for the champion, Kamaru Usman.
I got respect for everybody that gets in the cage, but as a person, I just don't respect him. And his skill set is not my skill set, so I'm going to say no. And the reason why I don't respect him is the way that he tries to promote fights and promote himself. I don't see eye to eye with him. I think he's wishy-washy, you know. If he was the type of guy that stuck to his guns, but he's always changing his mind and opinion, and one day he's, like, asking me to take pictures, and then a couple of years later, he's this thug on Twitter, you know, I can't respect him. You know, if he disliked me from the beginning, disliked me now, maybe I could see more eye to eye with him and just not agree with his opinion, but at least respect it. You know, I don't think he is who he says he is.
I respect everybody I get in the cage with, but I don't respect him.
Yeah, no, except for the guy I'm fighting now. Let's talk about this. Masvidal tells us how he thinks the fight's going to go.
I'm going to baptize his That's for a fact. That's what you can bet on. That's the secret sauce right there. I'm going to baptize him. I'm going to do it in violent fashion. And I'm going to separate myself from the pack even more than I have in the past.
You haven't heard that terminology very often. Baptize him in violent fashion.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's descriptive.
Does it sound appealing to you, Jake?
I enjoy it because I'm kind of rooting for Masvidal. I think is, I mean, that's, it's an extreme way to put it. I enjoy it. I mean, I'm all for it. Like, you know, baptizing people with violence.
Bless him.
I feel like you've been baptized in violent fashion before.
I've been baptized in many things.
Wow.
Right, exactly. Well, that's why you're Jake Pounders.
That's right.
Here Jorge Masvidal talks about how he stayed in shape even though it looked like he wasn't going to have this fight.
Here's the thing. I'm not always in the gym on the mat. I've been on the mat since a kid, so I'm not always on the mat. You know, I was going to the gym about 2-3 times a week, helping out some of my teammates. And the rest of the time, we were doing general conditioning, like whether it was running, swimming, playing spike ball, doing stadium runs, things like that. You know, so I was trying not to burn myself out because I didn't have an opponent. I didn't have a date. I just didn't want to be in the mats all the time, training at the gym all the time. And then I get to fight and I'm a little burnt out or mentally I'm not there. So I wanted to make myself hungry to be in the gym again. So I wasn't in the gym as much as I would have been if I had a fight preparation, but I'm still in great shape.
Dude, spike ball. It's a beach game.
You like that?
The two brothers that created spike ball went to one of them is one of my brother's best friends from Marquette.
That's the one where you put the little trampoline net and
yep.
We got one of those. We couldn't figure out how to do it.
I need to come over. It's so much fun. It's a blast.
We watch guys in the
park. Have Jake come over and teach you.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But yeah, I mean, it's a good workout.
So maybe that gives him the edge, spike ball, for mm-hmm. this fight. Let's skip to the skip one and go to the next Jorge Masvidal clip when he talks about dropping weight on short notice is nothing out of the ordinary for him.
It's something that I've done in the past a lot before when I was competing at 155 pounds. I don't enjoy doing it. I don't think anybody does. But it's something that is just part of the career when you take a short notice fight, you know. So I'll be putting on the garbage bags or the plastics bag, whatever you want to call it, get the jump rope, hit the sauna, run, treadmills, things like that, you know. But what makes it tough is that when we land here in Abu Dhabi, we got to be quarantined the first 48 hours until they get the test results. So it's under different conditions, you know. I'm going to have to do it all in my room, and it's a little tougher than usual maybe.
That is Jorge Masvidal, who's fighting Kamaru Usman. And remember, they are the ones that got into the scuffle at the Super Bowl. And I actually sat down with Kamaru Usman and interviewed him. Great guy, great interview. I loved it. He had a belt with him. And then Masvidal was around as well. So this fight has been percolating since before the Super Bowl. We thought it was going to happen right after the Super Bowl, and it didn't. But here we are finally. And look, it's a great card stacked. The first fight features Paige VanZant, although James Krause told us he expects her to get destroyed. But she has a tremendous amount of Instagram followers, and she's very popular on Instagram. Jake, are you a follower of Paige VanZant on Instagram?
I do follow Paige VanZant.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. That's fine.
But, I mean,
you know, many
got to follow
do.
Along with the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very, very popular. But James Krause told us that he gives her very little shot of winning her fight. And then Rose Namajunas, who was in studio with us back in the day when the UFC fought in Kansas City, she's got a rematch for a very disappointing loss that she had against Jessica Andrade. And so she's going to be in action. I think she's going to win. But, I mean, Rose Namajunas, we love Rose, and she's the second fight. And then you got the three title fights. Petr Yan against Jose Aldo is going to be fantastic. I think Yan's going to win that fight. And then two more title fights. We've already talked about Masvidal and Usman. Everyone wants to see that. But the other fight that's going to be great is Alexander Volkanovski, a former rugby player from Australia who was a stud, who beat Max Holloway in a close decision the first time around. So this is another rematch, and most everyone loves Max Holloway, and that should be an all-action fight. And then you got the main event. So, terrific UFC 251 on Saturday night. All this coverage of UFC 251 is brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. Miller Lite Fight Night on Saturday night. And you can follow me on Twitter at SSJWHB for some smart-ass tweets. Throughout the night, watching UFC 251. Perhaps it will be a Phil St. John takeover of the my account. We'll let him tweet during a couple of fights.
Yeah,
all for that.
Yeah.
All for that.
It'll be overwhelming. He'll tweet once in 3 hours, and he'll say, oh, pretty good, or something. You know.
Not a bad fight.
All right. I like that fight.
Pretty good.
Right. A man of few words, but he gets his point across. We will take a break. When we come back, Stan Weber will join us. Stan Weber in studio after this on WHB. Jake, you're making me go against my mother's wishes. I was always taught to never speak when Elvis is singing, and so.
It's about a minute 24 left then.
Mother would be very angry at me right now.
Cállate.
Stephen, he's speaking. He's singing. He's singing. Stop talking. Oh, Elvis. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Elvis Presley. I'm Stephen St. John. We have Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Mr. Stan Weber. Hello, Stan Weber. How are you?
Can I break the rule and speak when Elvis is still singing? Because my mom loves Elvis like your mother,
right.
I believe. Figurines.
That's right.
I got all kind of big wall of figurines of Elvis Presley. And
I'd like to see those.
I remember when every TV special he had, man, we were locked and loaded like it was the Super Bowl. The whole family was ready, you know, 5 minutes before the program came on, and we were focused because we loved Elvis.
Every Elvis special back when I was a kid, my dad was just loaded because my mom wouldn't stop talking about him, so he would go in the other room and drink. But mm-hmm. You know, hey,
I just remember
a long time ago,
Elvis had a special memory in my head. It's not necessarily a positive, but it kind of turned into a positive because of my mother's appreciation and his talent. Okay, there was this giant record player we had with big speakers, and my mom, about the time that, you know, if there were one college football game, or one Big 12 basketball game on Saturday, remember those days? You guys don't remember those days.
Oh yeah, I do.
But okay, so there's one big game or doubleheader at best, but about 5 o'clock in the evening or something like that, I mean, things are really slowing down. There's no sports until Sunday at noon or whatever. And I remember being sad, and then all of a sudden, my mom would turn on the record player with Elvis records and blast the house, music just pouring through the house. And she would be cleaning the house and that kind of thing. And I remember playing Nerf basketball, and you know, 2 feet from it was so loud. But I grew up on Elvis music, and his talent is unbelievable. To me, when you have big bands and great production, that's cool and it's great, but can you imagine just sitting around a room with a guy who could sing, just hand him a guitar or a piano, and he can make it sound as good as well-produced? I mean, I've never met someone like that, but that'd be incredible. That's just your buddy. Hey, why don't you sing us a song?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
So, no, I grew up with that, Stephen. I know anything you talk about your mom loving Elvis Presley, I'm fully aware of.
Nate's like that with the ukulele.
Right.
I do try to play the ukulele, but I suck.
Yeah. No, you're great, man. Makes a lot of people happy.
Now, Richie St. John, on the other hand, is like that. He can play everything. It's pretty incredible. Music fills the house up, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And I'm not a big music guy. I mean, I'm a sports guy, but it does fill the house up if it's the right music.
And everyone asked me, so you, does he take from you being a musician? I'm like, hell no. I took guitar lessons for 2 years, and I was as bad at the end as I was in the beginning.
And then you punched it. You punched the guitar.
Right, that's exactly right. I did John Belushi from Animal House, just grabbed it and hit it, broke it over someone's head. But here's the deal. All the kids grew up on my old school music, and they embraced it, so... That's the influence right there. And
does Richie sing Elvis songs at all just to hang around the house? Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. No, my favorite moment's when he sits at the piano and plays, and then either or Phil will play, because Phil, he just doesn't talk, but he plays the piano and listen to the girls sing, and they all just, and I'm just playing it and I'm thinking, oh, this is like what they did in the 1800s, just gather around a piano and the family sings, because that's their only entertainment. And then it's time to play video games after that, so I quickly race back to 2020. And so we have Stan Weber. Well, that's right, Stan.
Sample from Richie St. John right here.
This is all Richie St. John.
Really?
Music and vocals. You can hear a little Elvis in there, can't you? Headed for home, it's a brown-eyed handsome man. And you want me on the
Sharewaves asked him to do this, Stan Weber, and so he recorded this for the Sharewaves Ready to Play Week.
All of it.
And that's Richie playing lead guitar, rhythm guitar, bass, and keyboard, and lead vocals. The only thing he didn't do there were the drums, and so I'm very lucky. He has more talent in his pinky than I have in my everywhere.
Yeah, but
I don't
you know
a
what?
Lot of talent, but I can talk.
You know what though? He is a very talented kid, but this goes to what we talk about with sports too. You watch great athletes play, and I used to make the mistake of thinking to myself, that guy is just really athletic, and then you realize Michael Jordan was really athletic. He worked his rear end off his entire life to hone that ability. And Richie, I've watched him. I mean, I've watched him grow up. That kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he is in my mind because I've known him since he was in fifth grade. But he works incredibly hard. It's not he doesn't think of it as work. He loves it. He plays, he practices. You don't get that good at anything just off of talent.
That's awesome. I mean, I could sit and listen to that all day. Plus, he mixed in some sports in there with his talents.
Yeah,
that's right.
That song just reminds me of. You know, my first introduction to Kansas City when, you know, I was a kid, I grew up in Wichita. We loved the Royals and the Chiefs, you know, Chiefs Kingdom that Mitch Holtis talks about. You know, Wichita is definitely Chiefs Kingdom, but it's still not Kansas City. It's a different place up here. And to be here live, and when I was in high school, we could pay $25, go down to the radio station, just a general radio station, and get on a really nice bus, and they'd fill the bus for a Sunday Royals game. And they'd get on there, and all you could drink beer and pop for not I didn't get any beer, but I wasn't growing up enough to know why these people were having so much fun with free beer for a 3-hour drive.
Well, I knew it at a very young age.
But we went and watched the Royals, you know, and they weren't on TV that often.
Uh-huh.
They really weren't on TV that often back then. And so, but to hear this song and have the introduction for me now that I've been around Kansas City forever and can almost take it for granted. I can say it's a small town. It's unbelievable how many people I know or
right.
I know someone who knows someone else. You're like, you're kidding me. There's no way. It really is a small town. But when I was in Wichita and a kid, you play that song when the Royals were in the late 70s and getting better at baseball and just puts a giant smile on your face. So you mix the Stephen's son, Richie, singing that song. That's why are we talking? Why don't we just keep playing that over and over again?
First time I ever spent time with Richie was Steven and I just started working at A10, and Steven and I got sent to River Falls, Wisconsin. And one of the car dealerships that we had to deal with at the radio station gave us like a nice convertible sports car, and Richie came with us. He was in fifth grade, wasn't he, Steven?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Was his long hair flowing?
And he was one of those kids that was like 12 years old going on 40. He could have a conversation with a grown-up when he was 10 years old, you know, and he just...
And I was 40 going on 12. That's why we always got along so well.
Yeah.
Every house averages out. You know, you got the serious ones and you got the fun ones. And Steven said, let's have some fun. Yeah. Richie says, let me be serious.
Right. Dad, we need to talk about credit cards. We need to pay too much in interest rates.
Yeah, interest rates for ridiculous.
Dad, stop buying all this Canelo Alvarez stuff.
And the Royals World Series tickets. Yes.
Now, Stan Weber, something else that makes me very happy to talk about is Patrick Mahomes II. And look, the way that Nate was talking about Jordan and you know, you see someone with tremendous talent, and sometimes we don't think about the work ethic and how much they put into it. And I feel like that's Patrick Mahomes, man. Some of the workout videos, training videos he sent out, and we see his commitment on and off the field to the organization and to the city. That's why so many people celebrated when we found out about his contract extension that'll keep him here for 12 years, or who knows, maybe more. I mean, Brett Veach indicated that this may not be the last, probably won't be the last contract he signs with the Chiefs. But let's just start there. What was your reaction when you saw the length of the contract and the amount and the timing? Some people were surprised by the timing. What was your reaction to the extension, Stan?
Well, a big smile on my face for many reasons. And I'm fortunate enough to negotiate many, many deals. And I think that the best negotiations are ones where you try to find out what the other side really thinks is most important, be truthful in what you think is most important, not get tricky at all, which most people think you have to be at each other's throat to get the best contract. You might not get everything, or you may leave too much on the table. I don't think that's the best way to do big deals at all. If you can get a trust on each side, you need to talk about what things matter to us. And I think this is a great case where both sides didn't tear each other down. There's no reason for it. You've got Patrick Mahomes, who not only may be the greatest football player ever if he's able to stay healthy and keep going at the pace he has, but he's the greatest asset ever for any team because no one's been more of a team guy. He's thinking about what do the Chiefs want as well. He's willing to make a commitment. When you're doing deals, one of the most important things I think that you have to do is find that match point between both sides. They did that. I think that you need to be flexible. You have to have flexibility if you're the corporation or the Kansas City Chiefs in this example. You have to have flexibility. This gives them all kinds of flexibility. On the front end, he didn't hammer them with salary cap dollars. So they have all kinds of flexibility to keep the Super Bowl level team together for 3 or 4 years without Patrick Mahomes costing that much money at all. That's flexibility. Then he bombs them with money at the end, right? But the way they did it, it creates all kinds of flexibility because those roster bonuses and big dollar items will be renegotiated over and over and over again. They'll turn a $30 million payment and say, why don't we turn that into a bonus and extend your contract 1 year? And then they get it allocated over time and not take the salary hit today. I said a long time ago, I thought that he is going to turn into the equivalent of an assistant general manager, not because he's a great player, but because he's a great player who cares enough and can handle the truthful information. Here's an item for you. I think the Chiefs should, and I think they might, look at every year's salary cap. Every year as you go through this thing, if you have any money left in the salary cap, which you might, you know, at the end of this 2020 season, we might get down to the last quarter of the season and the Chiefs have $3 million left of salary cap money. If you want to run the best football franchise you can, you want to use that money and not have it hit your salary cap later. It's now or later. Right? The money, the bonuses, those kind of things. So what they've done here is I think they go to Patrick Mahomes over and over again and say, hey, we have $4 million left in our salary cap. We want to increase your salary this year, and let's take off a little bit at the end. They can massage this so it's not a $50 million hit when it's down the line. Okay? They have all kinds of flexibility. They have a commitment. Another thing you want in contracts is you want length. If you do a four-year contract, you don't have very much flexibility at all. Not only do you have to renegotiate later, you can't do much with a cap. When you have a long-term commitment, this is 12 years, it's pretty simple to see all the flexibility, the commitment. Everything you'd want in a contract from a negotiating strategy style for the Chiefs is there, and Patrick Mahomes gets big money, makes a commitment. It's very, very well done, and I think Patrick Mahomes is a you talk about unicorn. He's a unicorn in the fact that he is going to help this franchise do the right thing for a long time with what he does to the salary cap.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Stan Weber talking about the Patrick Mahomes contract extension, as Patrick Mahomes is in Lake Tahoe this weekend competing in the American Century Championship on NBC Sports Network and NBC. And so if you want to, if you need some Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce in your life, you can watch them all weekend long with the icing on the cake known as Canelo Alvarez. And so, Jake, thank you very much for reminding me of that, because I'll be very fired up to watch all weekend long. Stan Weber joins us. And, Stan, the other talking point out of, besides all the celebration and how everyone's just thrilled with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs committing to each other for over a decade more now, now the focus goes back to Chris Jones and how this is going to affect Chris Jones. Some people said, well, this clearly means that Chris Jones, he's not going to get a long-term deal, and so that closes the book on that. Other people have suggested, no, this actually opens the door and makes it more likely that the Chiefs could sign Chris Jones to a long-term deal. What are your thoughts on how this contract extension affects Chris Jones and his situation?
Well, it's partly up to Chris Jones. I think the Chiefs have laid the groundwork for the kind of attitude they want to have, and I know I talked about it many, many months ago, right when this thing started happening, about Chris Jones and franchise tag, and a lot of people believe that's the end of Chris Jones. He won't play for the Chiefs, got to trade him, all those kind of things, never be able to play. And I said, you know, the Chiefs have got to step in and say, hey, Chris, work with us. We're going to tell you as truthfully as we can. We don't have all the salary cap room in the world, and we got to take care of Patrick Mahomes, but we also want to take care of you. We value you. We want you to be here, kind of that Dayton Moore love. And I think the Chiefs have that respect with not only Patrick Mahomes, with a lot of players. And you go tell Chris Jones that, and then you prove, then now you call Chris Jones up and say, we want to talk to you. July 15th is around the corner. If we're going to get something done other than just have a salary, just have the $16.1 million guaranteed if you play under the franchise tag. If you want to do something else, we got to do it by the 15th. Let's get to work. Now, what did we learn from the Patrick Mahomes situation? Why don't we talk about what we want? What do you want, Chris Jones? What do you want? And when you can, I can't answer what Chris Jones wants. That's the answer to this question. I don't know. Can the Chiefs show flexibility? Will the Chiefs show flexibility? Absolutely. They can do a lot of things. For instance, he's going to count $16 plus on the cap this year. He's already the Chiefs could do that. They could have him play for $16 million, and they could franchise him again the next year, and it would cost him what, 20% more, and hold him for 2 years. Well, that really hacks him off. You know, he doesn't want to be franchised. He wants more guaranteed money. He wants a longer term commitment. He wants a bigger bonus. What does he want though? You want to be a $20 million player? I mean, and how long do you want to be a $20 million player? So the Chiefs could say, you know what, we think you're a $20 million player. Why don't we sign a contract? Why don't we sign a contract that pays you $20 million total right now? And we can divvy it up however we want to. But if you want $20 million right now, let's pay it. Some of it can be a signing bonus. So would he be interested in $20 million today, including a signing bonus, and then a contract in year two of another $20 million and guaranteed that he's not going to be franchised? Would he accept that? That's not a commitment of 6 years or 4 years or all the money in the world, but isn't it better than just sitting there for $16 million and wondering if they're going to make you rot or dare you? So I think the Chiefs can work this out, could get him to play for one more year. If I were the Chiefs right now, I would say, here's $20 million, including bonus. We'll set the salary cap however we want to. We'll have paid $4 more million to our cap over 2 years, and then next year give you a contract for $20 million. But well, then they could trade him with that $20 million contract and he can get paid, or they cut him. If you put a big dollar amount out there, they could cut him and say, you're going to be a free agency. Put a poison pill out there. Let's just sign and get to work and work around it and pay him a little bit more money. So I think there's ways to work, unless Chris Jones just says no. If he wants to say no, 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 there's no chance. But I think the Chiefs can say, we'll handle you like we did Patrick. We'll do the best we can with what we have.
You know, you saying that and listening, I went back and listened to the interview that these guys did with Jeff Chedia yesterday, where he talked about the money for Patrick Mahomes really starting to kick in after 3 years. The image of the Tetris piece is trying to fit them together. If I don't know if this is possible or not, because I don't know enough, but maybe if you're not paying Patrick Mahomes his big money for 3 years from now, you pay Chris Jones his big money in these next couple years, like this year and next, maybe you can fit those pieces together a little bit and make something work out.
Yeah, it can. It just depends on what he wants. It could definitely be worked out if they want to. I mean, if Chris Jones demands, I think they can set something up that will work for both of them. So I'm generally optimistic. I've always been generally optimistic that the Chiefs can work with the players. They have a lot of equity. But, you know, it's interesting. I do think just one more thing on a Patrick Mahomes contract. You mentioned kicking into big money in a third year. But he has 2 years of contract that were kind of the same. But the additional money that he added for four more years of extension over what he was already guaranteed is an average of $39.95 million over four more years through year six. Russell Wilson signed a four-year contract. He's averaging $38 million of new cash for those 4 years. So Patrick Mahomes basically signed a contract equivalent to Russell Wilson. Wow. Plus you get two more years of him. Plus he created all kinds of flexibility and gave you a chance to work with him for 12 years. I mean, you got the best of Tom Brady, the best of Russell Wilson, and in between, these guys are going to work it out, and it's positive all around. And Chris Jones, if he wants to play, I think the Chiefs can give him more money.
We've got Stan Weber in studio. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. We've got Stan Weber for another half hour then. We have a long list of fine guests for you, including Mike McFarlane and Gary Lezak, and Jarrett Sutton is going to be on the show with us. We've confirmed with Matt Beasler. Is that right, Jake Pounders? Beasler is going to make it happen.
Correct. He's moving some things around. We're moving some things around. 9:30, the captain. Nate's happy. Nate's real happy.
I was worried for a second there.
Be careful moving things around, please. Don't break anything.
Keep things in
Tommy
place.
Hottovy on the show at 8:30. Jonathan Thomas on the show at 9. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.